The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is poured out in every gift of the Holy Spirit, and may this Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you, and joyfully find you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is a reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength, he says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 40 responsively. I waited patiently upon the Lord, who stooped to me and heard my cry.
The Lord lifted me out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a high cliff, making my footing sure.
The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe, and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are they who trust in the Lord. They do not turn to enemies or to those who follow lies.
Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared to you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. You have opened my ears. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
And so I said, "Here I am. I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me."
I was
I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, you know.
I have not hidden your righteousness in my heart, but I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your steadfast love and truth from the great assembly.
You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your steadfast love and your truth continually keep me safe.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The The second reading is a reading from 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming forward toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I've said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he may be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walked by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The word of the Lord. On a Wednesday of last week, it was nighttime, and I had the privilege of watching part of the memorial service that was for those in Tucson, Arizona. It was the six victims who were killed and the other people who were injured. I think this horrific event left many of us asking the question, why? Left us searching ourselves, our political climate, our God for answers. I don't really want to give you an answer for why evil happens or the madness that we encounter in the world. I don't think there's anything that I could say that would provide some solace for this evil. But what I do want to do, I want to give an account, I want to testify, I want to bear witness to what God has done and is doing about evil in our world. See, everyone gives testimony to something. Throughout the whole memorial service in Tucson, I was struck by how people were testifying to the lives and the works of those who had died or were injured. They were bearing witness to the love that each of these people had. Those speaking were recounting the good deeds and giving an account from what they had heard and seen other people say about them. There was a man who was honored for rushing to the aid of Congresswoman Gifford. When he spoke, he insisted that he wasn't a hero, even though he acted heroically. He did point to other people, though. He said that the firemen, the police officers, the EMTs, the paramedics, those people were the real heroes because these were the people that stepped in line every single day. He pointed to them as the real heroes. When the president took the podium, he started to recount the lives of those people who were slain. It was obvious that his speechwriters had done a lot of work. Someone had to listen to their family stories and write what the president was going to say. The president was then able to give an account of their lives, their hopes, their dreams, and their loves. He bore witness to their lives. Testimony is defined as bearing witness, giving an account, telling of one's own experience. We commonly think of testimony as something done in a courtroom. It's a person recounting what they've seen and what they have heard. In the Christian tradition, the word testify has an interesting history. The word in Greek, I think some of you might recognize, is martyria, which is where we get the word martyr from. So the apostles and the people who had seen and heard what Christ has done, they told others, they gave a testimony. When persecution started happening, when the people were killed for their faith, these were the people who wouldn't go back on their testimony. They were the ones, they were called martyrs, because their testimony was confirmed and sealed in their own blood. They could not go back on their faith. And they paid the ultimate price for bearing witness to Christ. These martyrs and testifiers, they were venerated because they had an opportunity to recount, and they didn't. Their testimony remained as they were being killed. This posed a problem in the early church because there were people who then sought death, who wanted to be martyrs, who wanted to die for their faith. So leaders had to start writing letters telling people not to seek death. There was a father of the church named Polycarp. Persecutions were coming to his city. And then he left the city because of the persecutions that were happening. But he was eventually caught and he was killed because he wouldn't renounce Christ. These people gave an account with their very lives, the faith that they had, and the things that they'd seen Christ do in the church and in the world. See, once you've seen what Christ has done, you can't deny it. Once you've heard and seen how Christ moves, You don't have to receive it any longer. You have to reject it. You have to deny your own testimony. Testimony is a very powerful thing. There are some churches today that practice testifying. Maybe some of you have experienced this yourself. Some holiness churches like the Nazarenes or some African American traditions, they testify. And so what they do is they get up in the church service and they begin to recount what Christ is doing in their lives that week, where they've seen Christ move. I've also seen this in an African American Lutheran congregation in Los Angeles. The reading today at the church in Corinth, to the church in Corinth, says, "For in every way you have been enriched by him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you." Testimony is a powerful thing. In today's gospel reading, John the Baptist, he's testifying to what he has seen at the baptism of Jesus. Twice this narrative has John walking by and he's pointing the finger, saying, "Look, there he is. That's the one." There was this theologian who said that John shouldn't really be called John the Baptist. He should be called John the Finger, because he's always pointing towards Jesus. He's always testifying to Jesus and his ministry. There's an art piece called the Isenheim altarpiece. It hangs in a museum in France now. It originally hung in a hospital for people with skin diseases, and it depicts Jesus on the cross, and Jesus is suffering from a terrible skin disease. And John the Baptist is to the right of the cross. And John the Baptist has an elongated finger, and he's pointing towards Christ. And to his side, there's the Lamb holding a cross. In artwork of John the Baptist is always pointing. He's always pointing at Christ, towards Jesus. He's always testifying to Christ. Now, as much as I've talked about testimony, sometimes we can get like a child where you point at something and they end up looking at the end of your finger and they don't look at what you're pointing to itself. So what are we testifying to? Last week, John had baptized Jesus. And when he came out of the water, he saw the Spirit of God descend on him like a dove. And God the Father spoke, "This is my Son, my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with him." The whole Trinity was revealed in the baptism of Jesus. John walks by twice and he says, "There he is. That's the one that God was talking about. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one who will save us." John the Baptist was testifying that Jesus was the Lamb of God. For me, that poses a few questions. First off, what is sin, and what does the Lamb of God mean? The word sin is not plural. It's not sins. It's sin. It's a condition that we're born into. Whether you believe in original sin or not, we're born into a sinful world, and we can do nothing about it. In the Greek Orthodox tradition, it's believed that sin is the actual unraveling of creation. Adam and Eve have lived in perfection, and once they sinned, creation just started to unravel. It started to decay. And God had to do something about this unraveling. God had to once again make creation whole and stop the decay that Adam and Eve had brought into the world. That is sin. And we don't need to scratch the surface very hard in our society or in ourselves to find that we are not perfect, that there's something wrong. We don't need to look very hard to find the unraveling of creation in ourselves. That's why Jesus came. That's why the Lamb of God had to come. Jesus was called the Lamb of God, which gives this imagery of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb wasn't one that took away sins. The Passover lamb was to protect the Israelites from having their firstborn sons killed. This protected them from the last plague. This event, these plagues, were precursors to the release from bondage. Jesus, the Passover lamb, was initiating a new exodus, a new freedom from the bondage of sin. And that's what we testify to. We testify that God came to make all things right again. We testify to the fact that God loves the world, that God came into the world, that the whole time God knew that he would take all the pain, all the misery, all the hopelessness, all the violence, all the death, and he would put it on himself. The prophet Isaiah says, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases." That he would be subject to all that evil and all that sin. He is the Lamb of God. These things could not destroy God, though. Rather, he would take them upon himself and he would swallow them up for our sake. He would die so that the world might be reborn into what it was intended to be. And so we testify to the goodness of God and to the recreation of the world. Here's where I think we as a church testify to these things. The church bears witness to the love of God by telling and retelling this story. We believe that the Word of God has the very power to create life in people, like it did at creation. And so we proclaim God's Word knowing that it will do what it says it will do. And we give the sacraments the tangible form of God's grace. And we do it as individuals. We proclaim God's love in word and deed. We are people who look and find where God is recreating, and we say, "Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We show the love of God to people. I've been here 6 months, and I could spend all day telling you beautiful stories of how people here bear witness. They testify to the love of God. Giving to the needy, sitting with someone who is mourning, praying for someone who is in need. I could testify to the redemption of creation going on through you here at St. Peter's. So don't stop. Don't ever stop that. Always testify that God is at work. Whatever you do, wherever you are, God is bearing witness through you and to you. Testify. Proclaim, bear witness to that. God is moving among you. God is recreating through you. And know when that this is happening, that you too are like John pointing the way to Jesus, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Happy are you, St. Peter's, who have been called. Amen.